You know, I've never understood the sort of gospel-oriented ban on dancing, because in another time and place, that little tune is a wonderful foxtrot, maybe even a polka, and one of the best, most comforting hymns of all in the garden is a beautiful waltz. So, go figure. In light of that, from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all and every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Most really good pastors, when preparing a sermon, find themselves consulting Bible commentaries and theological research and so on, and I do that now and then. This week I got as far as Sports Illustrated because of the really interesting picture and headline. They've photoshopped Ray Lewis in a kind of a baptismal setting here and raising the question up above, does God care who wins the Super Bowl? Kind of an interesting question. Of course, the article doesn't really answer it. It's an article that has a lot to do with the very visible, maybe increasingly visible, presence of religiousness among high-profile professional athletes, maybe among the most obvious, Tim Tebow, although it's not mentioned. One of the signature images in the article is a picture of Colin Kaepernick's depiction of a portion of the Psalms in a tattoo. I wrote the book on religious tattoos. Well, not the book, but the article. And really about the only one that's in the scholarly literature about it. It's not all that complicated. Colin Kaepernick is trying to tell the world that God is important to him, that he finds strength in the Bible, that the biblical message on his strongest part makes it stronger. And the permanence of it is what's attractive. Very visible, very high profile, which is in keeping with the way some pro football teams have institutionalized religion. Many have chaplains, some have more than one, and many of the chaplains who work for pro football teams are funded by an organization called Athletes in Action, which is sort of the adult version of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which is very prominent on college campuses. So again, high profile, high visibility, and I think eminently paradoxical. Paying homage to the Prince of Peace on perhaps among the most violent real estate in America, 50-yard line of a football game. Paradox. Putting oneself in great danger. I've always found it intriguing that there's a very visible and dramatic prayer that's often prayed at the start of the Indianapolis 500. Usually included in the prayer is a petition that God protect these brave drivers and keep them from harm. And what I want to say is, if you want to protect these drivers and keep them from harm, call off the race. In the article it says this: this ministry within pro football turns thousands of people to Christianity every year, saving countless wayward lives. If you look at these athletes, many don't have a dad, don't have a father figure. These kids are dealing with so much, they are what the word says, lost, completely lost. Finding a place in the company of others to, in effect, be anchored in the faith. And then the danger question. Christian coaches and athletes point to the parable of the talents in the Gospel of Matthew. A master entrusts three servants with some talents or coins. The two servants who use the money to make more money are praised, while the servant who buries his money in the ground is condemned for wasting what was given to him. Some Christians conclude from the parable that God wants us to use our God-given abilities as best we can. Some sports-obsessed Christians take that conclusion a step further, excusing violence and hyper-competitiveness as obedience to God's will that athletes do their best. I get the logic of that. High profile and visible. Varieties of gifts. I ran across the list of the top 10 largest churches in America. This may not be a news flash. We ain't on it. Rick Warren is a well-known minister. He wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. He's the pastor of Saddleback Church in California. That's number 8 on the list, with about 20,000 members. Joel Osteen wins, pastor of Lakewood Church in Houston, 43-5. Whoa! And yet here we are. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of working, but the same God inspires them in every one. I that's not my kind of Christianity, which is not to say it doesn't fit, because, you know, the Spirit can work its way and will anywhere, through even 43-5, or 17 or 18. It only takes two or more. It's intriguing to me how my kind of Christianity and those other more high-profile and visible ones converge around some similarities and some common themes. My kind of Christianity is what I want to talk about today, and simply put it out there as a way of thinking through what it means to be in possession of one or two or three of a variety of gifts, for there is still one Spirit. My kind of Christianity includes a lot of tolerance. Now, that's different than toleration of even abhorrent things. There are things that I don't think any Christian can emotionally tolerate, the abuse of other people, being one among many. Tolerance, however, involves understanding that even though we disagree about a lot of things, there's enough we can agree about to keep moving in the same direction. I'm intrigued by some Gallup data that keeps coming up year after year very similarly. My students are sometimes surprised when I tell them the answer to this true-false question is false. Most U.S. Roman Catholics oppose birth control. It's just not true. Most U.S. Roman Catholics use it, embrace it, are grateful for it, and in the next question on the Gallup poll say also, yes, I'm a good Catholic. There's room for disagreement on that one. You know what? Well, we're all cool on the virgin birth, the transubstantiation of the elements at the Mass, the divinity of Christ. But on that birth control thing, you know what? The old guy in Rome is just wrong on that. And if he really wants to push it, let him feed the college fund. You know? There's enough area of agreement that the areas on which we disagree become less important when it comes time to moving the gospel forward. And there are varieties of gifts and varieties of rationale for all points of view. And I think in other parts of the world, in other types of communities, rural Mexico, the Philippines perhaps, that birth control thing makes more sense to more people, for better or worse. But the point is, as a pluralistic Christian community, and by that I mean worldwide Christianity, there's enough about which we agree that we don't need to separate ourselves by focusing and relentlessly arguing about the things we disagree, about which we disagree. So my kind of Christianity focuses on where we can meet together and find common ground through tolerance. Secondly, my kind of Christianity puts gratitude forward. Gratitude. Most of the world we live in follows the logic of if, then. If you study hard, then you get good grades. If you get good grades, then you have a cool transcript. If you have a cool transcript, you can present it in a job interview and get a high-paying job. If, then. If, then. If, then. The Christian gospel turns that on its head. Instead of saying, if you keep all the commandments, which, by the way, you can't, so don't bother thinking it through that you can. Don't bother not keeping the commandments. Because, therefore, turns it around. Because God knows you're going to mess up at least one or two, technically all of them, probably before the end of the week. Because God grants you grace. Therefore, out of a sense of gratitude, I think paradoxically your life gets better. What's going to motivate me to at least come closer to living up to the spirit of the law? Well, the unimaginable blessing that missing the mark from time to time, a couple times a day, doesn't prevent me from expressing my gifts. It is out of a sense of gratitude that actually our behavior, I think, is better than it might be if, as opposed to the circumstance where I was looking over our shoulder, like, are they going to catch me on this one? And then we have to spend a lot of time covering it up and take a breath. It's not if then, as in, if you don't keep the law, we're going to send you straight, you know. Do not pass go. No. Because of what God has done. Therefore, out of gratitude, our lives get better. So my kind of Christianity focuses on the gratitude part. It's like opening the best Christmas present every single day. God's grace comes to you anew with the sunrise. Live a good life and be at peace. Tolerance, gratitude, and generosity. My kind of Christianity, my kind of church is generous. I mean, generous maybe as a result of feeling blessed with finances and support and tithes and all of that, but more generous, I think, with a spirit. And of course, it loops it back, a spirit of tolerance and gratitude. There becomes infused in my kind of Christianity, anyway, a generosity of attitude, an attitude that is generous with the foils and foibles of other people. I don't know, I guess because it's Super Bowl week and everything's about football, I found myself reading a biography of Bart Starr, who was my childhood hero. I grew up watching the Packers play and his leadership on it, and I have a picture of myself with him when he came to my town in Wisconsin to speak as a 13-year-old, just a month or two after the first Super Bowl. And the book is, well, he's a different kind of Christian athlete. And he focuses on what I just mentioned, a kind of generous attitude. His biographer says, long after leaving the field of play for good, Starr always emphasized the power of attitude that had proven so instrumental in his life and in his career. Quoting Bart Starr, every single thing that we do now, how we react to other people, is a reflection of our attitude. He says, God gives us our talents, but he also gives us the strength to control that word, which enhances your talent. I feel you have the opportunity to do some great things if your attitude is right. And I think the attitude of which he speaks is a kind of generous spirit. The biographer goes on to say, in 1988, the National Football League recognized the power of the old quarterback's example by creating the Bart Starr Award. At a time of mounting scandals, the NFL partnered with Athletes in Action, the sports ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ, to honor an active NFL player who best exemplifies, quote, outstanding character and leadership in the home, on the field, and in the community. The winner of the Bart Starr Award is always announced at breakfast the Friday before the Super Bowl, and it is awarded the night before the Super Bowl. Last night, this year's Bart Starr Award winner is Jason Witten, who plays for the Dallas Cowboys. It's intriguing to me, and I think a reflection of the varieties of gifts and spirit, even coming through, of all places, the NFL, where we have Colin Kaepernick's tattoo and the Bart Starr Award finding a way to communicate the same message. I'm still intrigued by the question on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Does God care who wins the Super Bowl? God doesn't care anymore who wins the Super Bowl than Jim and John Harbaugh's parents care who wins the Super Bowl. They know that one of their sons will win, and they will celebrate with him. And one of their sons will lose, and they will console him, as might any parent. Well, I think that in microcosm is God's approach to us. He knows that on any given day, we'll have our moments, we'll win a few. And with that, God will celebrate. And, you know, we'll lose a few too. We will trip over ourselves, we can't get out of our own way, we'll get in other people's way. And God will find a way through the varieties of spirit that create varieties of churches to comfort and console us. My kind of Christianity doesn't depend on the size of the church, the charisma of the minister. It depends on the consistency of the message. Tolerance, gratitude, generosity. Well, I think that makes us all winners. Amen.